So if I remember right, as I do Control-Alt-Delete on my brain and reboot, check my memory drive, we started off with things like salvation and baptism. We talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked about gifts and ministries of what, out of Corinthians, the gifts and ministries that the Holy Spirit gives you and how to use some of those gifts to minister to others. We've talked about how to pray. We talked a lot about how to pray and how to find God's will for your life. We talked about being in the presence of God. We've talked about putting on the armor of God and how to prepare yourself for battle. But if you look at the last year, what we've been doing is preparing ourselves. Everything really has been inward focused. It's preparing each one of you to be in the world, to not be part of the world, but to go out into the world. So it's all been, look at it, it's kind of like boot camp, not nearly as crazy, but kind of like boot camp. You're being prepared. But starting in July, we're going to talk more about equipping the saints. So we have this, the tools of the trade. What are some of the things that God gives us as a church and as individuals? What are some of the tools of the trade for you to go out to the world and to evangelize? There's that evil word, evangelism. But let's not use the word evangelism. Let's toss that out. But it's still in the Bible. But let's push it aside. Let's say connecting to other people, loving other people, loving the people of the world. Now, we've had some interesting experiences over the last few weeks as far as connecting to people of the world and some of the ups and the downs that come from that. But we are children of light. Like it talks about in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we are children of the light. And so it's for us to be salt of the earth and to go out and connect with other people and to bring them into the knowledge of the Lord. That doesn't just mean let's do the sinner's prayer and get them saved. That's really a Holy Spirit thing. But we want to introduce the Lord to them, introduce them to the Lord, and then see what connectionalism, what love we can have take place. So there are four things that I want to go over with you this morning. But let's go to Nehemiah 1, Chris. So you can read that while I read from my version. You'll be able to follow along with no problem. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakilah. Now it happened in the month Chislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem. They said to me, "The remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the walls of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire." While I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, "I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the words which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens,'" in other words, around the earth, "'I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. They are your servants and your people, who you redeem by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name. And make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. Now, if you'll grab your Bibles and go to Nehemiah 8. Okay, has everybody got Nehemiah 8? Some of you are reaching for your glasses, maybe. So here's Nehemiah 8. We'll start with verse 1. And all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate. And water gate, not Nixon, Watergate. Thought I'd clear that up, which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra, the scribe, stood at the wooden podium, which they had made for that purpose. And there was a whole bunch of guys with him. Verse 5. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now, they were going to probably stand for the next 3 or 4 hours. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," while lifting up their hands. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Look at verse 7. You have a variety of men that were helping Ezra. And they explained the law to the people while the people remained in the place. They read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. This is not translating as in a different language. This is translating as in making sure that the words were easy enough for everybody to understand so that nobody would miss out on it. Okay, so if you catch those two sections that we just read, there was mentioned different times of the word prayer. That's one of your tools. That's one of your tools is before you go out, before you get sent out, you want to make sure you're prayed up, as we used to say long ago. You stay prayed up, so that way, when the right person comes along, you're prepared for them. Now, prayer sometimes can be very difficult. You're hoping that you get 5 minutes in per day, 10 minutes in per day. You might only be able to pray in the car. We've talked a lot about this over the last year, but prayer is prayer. So take the time. Take the time, even if it's only 5 minutes, even if you're just praying while you're sitting at a traffic light, pray. If you wake up, now as funny as this may sound, if you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're going, huh, oy vey, I can't go to sleep for another couple hours, pray. I guarantee you, you'll be asleep in 15 minutes. It's okay, pray. I've done that. I've gotten up in the middle of the night. She's still asleep, and I'm up. I'm a church mouse. I'm downstairs in the family room, and I'm praying. Not always, but I'm praying. And then I feel relaxed, like there was that something on my spirit that said, you need to go pray, Dave. And so I do. There's other times where I'll be at a mall. Now, I'm not a person that spends a lot of time in a mall, but sometimes I'll just be shopping or whatever, and I'll just stop wherever I'm at, and I'll just pray. Now, people will think I'm just looking at the ceiling or the wall or something like that. But no, I'm actually going, I need to pray for a minute. So I do that. So take all the opportunities you can and pray. Now, one of the things that I liked so much about Damien this morning is the fact that he asked me, he says, I need you to pray for me. I love that. So we prayed up here while everybody else was singing. We stopped and we prayed. I love that. If you want prayer, call me, text me, you know, that kind of stuff. I will pray with you. I'll pray for you. Say, hey, Dave, I need prayer right now. I'll pray for you. Just let me know. But I encourage each of you, go out and pray. Find that spot. Find that time that works for you and go pray. Second thing, the Word of God. Everybody hold up your Bible, whether you brought it or it's the church one. There's your Word. Read your Bible. Read the Word. Memorize it. Now that's difficult. I find the older I get, the less easy it is for me to memorize, but I still struggle, but I still want to do it. But sometimes it doesn't work out so well. There's three different instances where they say the Word of God is needed. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, he said, the Word, the Bible, is sufficient to train you, to equip you, to get you ready for the Word. In John 17:17, Jesus told the disciples that he prayed for them, that the Lord would that God would sanctify his disciples, and they would be full of the Word of God. And then Exodus 18, Jethro told Moses to make sure that he read the statutes and the laws for himself, but also for the nation of Israel. Because the Word edifies, it trains, it cleanses, it makes you aware of what God wants you to do. Third one, intentional training. So you go, what does that mean, Dave? What that means is things like Sunday school, Bible studies, that sort of thing. Your own studies. It says in Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. So my job, one of my jobs from God to you as your pastor, is to train you up in the Word of God. So this is part of what preaching is all about, giving you the Word of God. So if you look at Peter, Peter was not a preacher by nature. But on the day of Pentecost, what did he do? He preached to over 3,000 people that were assembled outside where he and the other 120 disciples were at, and over 3,000 people got saved that day. Here was a man who was not a trained preacher, but the Holy Spirit gave him that gift, and he preached for many, many years. Even Paul himself, before he took off to go on his missionary trips across the East, the Mediterranean countries, and that sort of thing, he spent 3.5 years in Jerusalem preaching before he was released by the other apostles, said, go and minister to the Gentiles. And the last thing is connection. When we all got up here together to pray, we had connection. We had commonality. We were showing love for one individual, but we're also showing love for each other. So when I have us pray for one another, like I'll have you break off into groups, we'll have different people I've anointed with oil. What are you doing? You're praying for them. You're showing them love. You're ministering to them. You're showing connection. So over the next few weeks, of course, this week I'm not here, this next week, but over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about equipping, because we're done with ministry for a while on the inside, ministering to each other. Now it's time to go out and hit the world. Go out and spread the good news. Alvin, where are you at? Alvin. Okay. So we have the pancake sale this Saturday coming up. Okay. 8 o'clock. Is that a great time to minister to other people that come into our church? Yes. What are some of the ways that you can minister to other folks? Where's the mic at? It's Mike. What are some of the ways that we can minister to folks that come in for the pancake breakfast besides feeding them? What are some of the ways that we can minister to people that come in this Saturday? Yes, I'm picking on you. I agree.
You know, just being that love of Christ yourself and that beacon and having people know that that's what it is.
Now, when you go to make them feel welcome, that doesn't mean you rush them three at a time, give them this giant group hug, right? We don't want to do that. But what do you think, Cindy?
You took mine away.
Besides welcoming them, what else can we do?
Be an example. Let them see you loving on people.
Okay. So how hard is it? Hang on one second, Betty. How hard is it to go sit with a complete stranger and engage them in discussion and just start talking, even if they're not the best hygiene, versus we all congregate in our little cliques and stuff around our own tables and say, let's have coffee? Can be difficult. Here, thanks. Betty.
That's what I was going to say. Sit down and engage as many people as you can in conversation. Find out about them and
talk,
visit with them.
Listen to them. One other thing might be, wear a name tag.
Well, that's a great idea.
What a wonderful idea. Wear a name tag. We've got a whole magnetic board of them out there. If you haven't got one, Sally will make you one. Oh, Bonnie.
Okay, it's just an idea, but what if we were to have a book open and a big sign saying prayer requests? Let people write down things that they would like to be prayed for, and maybe even a room set aside if somebody really wants someone to pray with them, that they could go in and pray with them.
So then I'm going to ask, I like that idea. Would somebody mind going to the Hallmark store and getting a registry book, a sign-in book kind of thing, something that we could use?
It could even just be a notebook, because some people write down details of their prayer request, such as, I know, so I work at McKD, and in the chapel there, they have a prayer request book, and I go in there periodically and go through and read what people have written and take some time and just pray for the requests that people have left.
Okay. I like that. What other ideas do we have? All right. It's a good start. Now, what did we just do? What did we just do? We connected. Dave's a little gray matter up here. Can't think of all of it. So why is there a body? Why does Paul write about the parts of the body? Because it takes every part to make you alive. The same way of body of Christ. It takes everything for gifts and ministries to make the church alive to the world. We're not here to just minister to each other. We're here to minister outside the walls. So I encourage you to do that. It's a good idea. Thanks, Bonnie. So let's go to Ephesians, New Testament. Let's go to Ephesians 4. So Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 kind of sums up what I'm trying to say this morning. And chapter 4 is a lot about the unity of the Spirit. And he says in verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves. I think over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about being tossed around by the waves. Carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of love, of itself in love. It's a great five verses right there that says, as a body, we come together. The Holy Spirit has equipped us. He has given each one of us certain gifts and ministries to minister not to only to one another, but to the world. We have a world out there that's very evil, mean, and very hungry for meaning, very hungry for the Lord. They just don't know where to look. That's our job. We're to be ministers. So here's what the Lord wants you to hear this morning. Matthew 28. Anybody remember off the top of your head what's in Matthew 28? You what? The Great Commission. So Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God's with each one of us, no matter what. He is with us to the end of the age. He has commissioned us. He has authorized us. Jesus Christ took that authority that God the Father gave him, and he passed it to us. Here we are, 2,000 years later, more or less, and he's given us the same direction. Go out. Make disciples of all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Say it one more time.
Amen.
Amen. Because that's what the Lord wants us to do. That's what the Lord wants this church to do. For the last year, you have been through healing. We have been talking about forgiveness, love, hope. Now, put it outside the doors. Put it outside the walls. Don't be afraid. And if you get nervous about something, you have my cell phone number. I will answer it. Honest, I will answer it. So call me and say, Dave, I've got an opportunity. What should I do? And we'll pray about it over the phone. And then I will pat you spiritually on the backside and say, go forth and conquer. Okay? Any of you afraid to go out and do this? Go talk to complete strangers? You need to be with me in the grocery store. I talk to everybody. Ask Raquel. She goes, oh, yeah. She says, I'm going to go to the magazine rack. And I'm out there talking to somebody who's now the new best friend of the family. But that's me. That's who I am. And that's a joy that I have. I have gift of gab, if you haven't already figured that out. Okay? So let's say amen. Hallelujah. Let's have some meditation music while I get us ready for communion.